Okay. Well, I wanted to look at something in the Word tonight that I think most of you are familiar with, but sometimes it's just neat to see how simply this stuff goes or fits together in God's Word. When you just read it, I want you to open up to Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3. I read an article today about a minister in England who is, I guess, I don't know if he's in any trouble, I don't know, but he baptized a number of people in the ocean on the tail end of a storm with 100 mile an hour winds. Anyway, it's what he did. God bless him. And you know, it's just not to go after anything, but when I read things like this, I just gotta sit back and the Word is so clear regarding who Jesus Christ was, what Jesus Christ came to do, and so many Christians put so much effort and stock and believing into things that don't line up with God's Word. And, you know, I'm not out to, you know, bash anybody or anything like that. But if you're going to put effort into something, we want our effort to be in that which lines up with God's Word, right? Yeah. And, you know, unfortunately, when you put so much time, effort, energy, and believing into things that don't line up God's Word, it's often at the expense of the truth of things that do line up with God's Word. And it really all comes down to a lack of knowledge, many times, of what the Word says. Sometimes it's just ignorance, sometimes it's other things, but you and I don't have to be ignorant. We've got God's Word, we can read it. I wanted to start here in Matthew chapter 3, and we're going to look at some things regarding John the Baptist, and things that he said regarding his baptism. In John 3, verse 1, it says, "In those days came John the Baptist, preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and saying, 'Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.' For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, 'The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight.' And the same John had his raiment of camel's hair, a leathern girdle about his loins, and his meat was locusts and wild honey. Then went out to him Jerusalem, and all Judea, and all the region round about Jordan." He had a tremendous impact. "And were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, 'O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? And bring forth therefore fruits, meat, or evidence, meat for repentance. And think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham." Really something. You know, John, This is not a typical greeting. But in dealing with these Pharisees and Sadducees, with these kind of words, these were the same men that Jesus Christ stood against. As a matter of fact, you know, he says here in this verse, "Say ye not to yourselves, we're Abraham, you know, we're children of Abraham." That's exactly what they said to Jesus Christ. Abraham is our father. We don't know where you're from. See, isn't that something? But these were the same men, and he was walking with God. He had the Spirit of God upon him. In verse 10, "And now also, the axe is laid unto the root of the trees, and therefore every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. I, John, baptize you with water unto repentance." But in contrast to this, "He that comes after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost," or Holy Spirit, "and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner. But he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire." At this time, John's baptism was a baptism under repentance, but he spoke regarding one who would come after him and baptize with what?
Holy Spirit.
At this point, men could only have Spirit upon them conditionally. Adam had lost Spirit, and that was the subject of God's Word, that Jesus Christ, it would be Jesus Christ that would do all that was necessary, would accomplish all that was necessary, so that Spirit would again be reinstated. He spoke to Nicodemus about this in John chapter 10. And he said to Nicodemus, "You're a master of Israel, and you don't know this? That one must be born from above? You don't know this?" At least something. He didn't coddle Nicodemus. Say, "Oh, Nick, no, you should know this." It was the subject of God's word, that Jesus Christ would win that back. And that came to pass on the day of Pentecost, in the new birth. As a matter of fact, go to Acts chapter 1, and then we're going to come back to the Gospels. That Spirit was poured out on the day of Pentecost. Acts chapter 1. Verse 5. And this is just, you know, just prior to his ascension, to Jesus Christ ascending to the right hand of the Father. And we know this to be 10 days before Pentecost, but these men didn't know it at the time. In verse 4, "And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which says he, 'You have heard of me.' For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with Holy Spirit not many days hence." Not many days from now. You'll be baptized with Holy Spirit. John said of that one who would come after him that he would baptize with Holy Spirit with fire, whose shoes I'm not worthy to unloose. Let's look at another one in Mark. Gospel of Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1, verse 4. Let's start in verse 4. "John did baptize in the wilderness, and preached the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. And there went out unto him all the land of Judea and they of Jerusalem, and were all baptized of him in the river of Jordan, confessing their sins. And John was clothed with camel's hair and with a girdle of a skin about his loins, and he did eat locusts and wild honey. And he preached, saying, there comes one mightier than I after me, the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to stoop down and unloose. I indeed have baptized you with water, but he shall baptize you with Holy Spirit. Now, one whose shoes that I am not worthy to unloose, they understood perfectly what he was saying. That he was not even worthy to do the job of the lowliest servant when it came to this one that would come after him. So great would be the one that would come after him, so much greater than he, than John, that he was not worthy to do the latchet on his sandals. Isn't that something? The ministry of Jesus Christ and what Jesus Christ brought and what Jesus Christ accomplished so far exceeded what John had done and what John had made available. Although what John made available was exactly what God wanted at that time to prepare for him who was coming after. Isn't that something? See? The baptism that Jesus Christ was bringing was so, so much greater than what John was making available. And that's what John was teaching in these records. Not even a comparison. Let's look at Luke chapter 3. Matthew, Mark, Luke. Verse 1 says, now in the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, Pontius Pilate being governor of Judea, and Herod being the tetrarch of Galilee, and his brother Philip, tetrarch of Iturea, and of the region of Trachonitis, and of Lysanias, the tetrarch of Abilene. It's kind of neat all that's in there because you can actually figure out when this was.
Yeah.
But anyway. Verse 2. Annas. And I'm pronouncing that the polite way. Annas, because I really don't like this guy. And Caiaphas, being the high priest, the word of God came unto John, the son of Zacharias, in the wilderness. And he came into all the country about Jordan, preaching the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. Now go down to verse 15. And as the people were in expectation, and all men mused in their hearts of John, whether he were the Christ or not. He really had an impact. He really did. John answered, saying unto them all, I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I cometh, the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to unloose. He shall baptize you with Holy Spirit and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and will gather the wheat into his garner, but the chaff he will burn with fire unquenchable. Fan in his hand, it's referring to that where they would separate the chaff from the wheat. They would toss it up in the air and the chaff was lighter. The wheat would fall back down into this thing and the chaff would, you know, blow away. And regarding him who is mightier than John the Baptist. And what he was coming to bring was mightier than what John was doing. which was water baptism. Now turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 1. We're actually just going to look at a couple more scriptures. But boy, it's sure pretty clear, isn't it?
Yes.
In verse 25, this is beautiful. And they asked him, they asked John, they asked him and said unto him, why baptizest thou then if thou be not the Christ? Okay, you're not the Christ. You've told us you're not the Christ, nor Elias, neither that prophet. And John answered them saying, I baptize with water, but there stands one among you whom you know not. He it is who coming after me is preferred before me. He's greater than me. Whose shoes latchet I am not worthy to unloose. These things were done in Bethabara, beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing. And the next day, John saw Jesus coming unto him and said, behold, the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. Wow. Takes away the sin of the world. John's baptism, they confessed their sins. This Lamb came to do what?
Take it away.
He took it on. He paid the price. John couldn't, nor could John's baptism. You know, and I'm really making these points for a reason, and we'll see it in just a moment. But this is so critical to understand. The Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, after me comes a man. This is him. This is the one I've been telling you about, whose shoes I'm not worthy to unloose. This is the one that's going to baptize the Spirit. This is the one that was preferred before me. For he was before me, and I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come baptizing with water. That was the purpose of John's baptism. Right there. That's why he came baptizing with water. That's why God told him to do it. So that when the Christ showed up, John could point him out. And he did it three times in the Gospels. I believe it was three times. Two that I can remember off the top of my head, but I believe it was three. You know, behold, the Lamb of God. It's him. It's him. This is the guy. Isn't that something? And John bare record saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water. Isn't that something? John didn't know that Jesus was the Christ until. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizes with what? And I saw, and I bear record, because that was my ministry, that he was the what? The Son of God. See? He's the Son of God. See? There's another place in the Gospels where John says, I must decrease while he increases. See? That's right. Because his job was to point out the Christ. That was the point of his baptism. That was the point of water baptism. To make known he who would baptize with Spirit and take away the sins of the world, setting men free. So that they could be born from above and have Spirit. That was the purpose of John's baptism. A wonderful man, a great man. Jesus Christ said that among prophets he was the greatest. But he was not worthy to unlatch the shoes of Jesus Christ. You see? The great tragedy here is that so many in the Christian church put so much time and energy and believing into the doctrine of baptisms, into water, into whether you should be dunked, sprinkled, or whatever, and the necessity of water baptism in order to be saved. I don't care if you're water baptized, could care less. But it's done at the expense of the truth of the baptism that Jesus Christ came to bring, which is spirit. Being dunked in water may make you feel better. It may make you feel good. That's wonderful. But manifesting spirit is the proof that you've got eternal life. When a man or a woman speaks in tongues for the first time, they know that 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 they're baptized in spirit, that it's Christ in them, and they've got eternal life. See? That's the difference. And how sad it is that baptisms in water are done at the expense of baptism in spirit, which is what Jesus Christ came to bring.
Right.
You know, when he talked to the woman at the well in John 4, you worship what you know not what. See, but the time's coming when they that worship will worship in spirit and in truth. When the Spirit was poured out on the day of Pentecost, what did they do? They spoke in tongues. They spoke in tongues. Who are these Galileans who speak the wonderful works of God? Look at Acts chapter 10. And I think that's where we'll end this. But it's just so wonderful. You just put these scriptures together and you just see it. It's so wonderfully clear. Now, if somebody wants to argue with the Word, we don't argue. You don't have to argue. But it's in the Word. This is what the Word says. And we want to be, we're interested in taking a stand on God's word. This is the record. We're not going to read the whole record, but you can start in verse 1. But this is the record of the first Gentiles being born again. Peter had been given the responsibility, the wonderful privilege of opening up the door to the Gentiles. It was the house of Cornelius. And it was, you know, really looked down upon. For him to even be in the house of a Gentile, which will come up in chapter 11. But I'm going to pick it up in verse 44. So he had spoken the word to them. He had spoken regarding Jesus Christ, that God got him up from the dead. All the things necessary for a man to believe in order to be born again. And in verse 44, he says, while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit fell on all them which heard the word. How did they know? And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished. They were blown away, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of Holy Spirit. How did they know? For they heard them what?
Speak with tongues.
They heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, can any man forbid water, that these should not be baptized, which hath received Holy Spirit as well as we? Verse 48, and he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days. Now we assume, because of pictures and of church doctrine and so on, that his baptizing them in the name of the Lord means he baptized them in water. No, he did not baptize them in water. He baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, which is what Jesus Christ instructed these men to do at the end of Luke. In chapter 11, we'll pick it up in verse 15 maybe? Yeah, he was called on the carpet. He was calling the carpet at Jerusalem, and they said, hey, yo, why were you in the house of a Gentiles? What's this all about? And so Peter explains it to him. He explains it to him, how God had showed him what to do. Verse 15, and as I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell on them as on us, At the beginning. What beginning? Pentecost. That's something. Just like it did on us. What did they do at the beginning? They spoke in tongues. Fell on them just like us. They spoke in tongues. Then it says, then remembered I the word of the Lord, which we read in Acts chapter 1, verse 5. I remembered the word of the Lord, how that he said, John indeed baptized with water, but you will be baptized with what? Holy Spirit. Isn't that something? For as much then as God gave them the like or the equal gift as he did unto us who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, what was I that I could what? That I could withstand God. See, isn't that something? Who was I that I could withstand God? You know, Peter was a disciple of John. John's ministry had a tremendous impact. You can understand it. I can understand it. I can understand why in Acts chapter 8, Philip baptized with water. I understand it. Peter, who was with the Lord Jesus Christ and heard Jesus Christ speak the words that we read just before he ascended in Acts chapter 1, verse 5, almost did it. Such was the impact of John's baptism. That's so.
Yeah.
But the truth was, is that Jesus Christ accomplished all for mankind so he could be baptized with Spirit. Now, somebody wants to add water to it, have at it. But not at the expense of Spirit. See? That's what Jesus Christ came to bring. That's something.
Yeah.
He's the one that came to baptize with Holy Spirit and with fire. Now, that baptism with fire, we're not going to take time to look at it. But that will happen in the future. You can read about it in Matthew 13, number of places, where he will separate the chaff from the wheat. And, it'll be a time of wrath and a time of judgment. Different kind of baptism. It's a cleansing, but a different kind of cleansing. See? You and I are clean by birth. That's something. So that's what Jesus Christ came to bring. And you know, sometimes these things come up in talking to people and working with people, and we should be able to take them to the Word and show them, not to argue, see, but boy, I tell you, if you can direct people to see the importance of Spirit and that new birth and what we have and what God's given us to manifest, it's really, man, what a privilege we have to make known God's word like that. Because so few know it. They really do. And it's, you know, God wants people to know. He didn't do this in a closet. So, amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen.